Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And I'm excited to have my next guest because I've been trying to get her on the show for a while. And between our schedules, it just has not worked out. So I've been in anticipation of her journey. So I'm super excited to welcome Emily to the show. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tanya. I'm super excited to be here. It's an honor, honestly.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, it's almost like a little healing process for us to kind of talk about the journey again in a positive atmosphere, right? Like yes. This, we're doing this because we want to get the word out about Lyme disease. We want to, you know, give the hope and the inspiration to the listeners out there that are battling. And then we feel well, right? Like, so it's just an all around a positive thing. And some people even have over the years have told me, gosh, I don't know if I can retell my story. I don't know, you know, like I'm going to be really emotional. And at the end of the day, it's always just been kind of like a little healing process for them. So I think it's good and it's fun. And, you know, we can have fun on the show and laugh, even though, you know, Lyme disease, no laughing matter, right? But it's just nice that we can have fun. Exactly. So I'm really looking forward to it because I know that we both like to talk. So this is going to be fun.
you're welcome, listeners. You know, I do. I love I try to live by the phrase hurt, heal, help. And that kind of helps me, you know, remember that it's not just about me. It's about others. And it can be really deflating going through something like Lyme disease. I mean, any illness is really difficult. And so something that is so soul killing as Lyme disease, you do lose hope and you do need people out there that kind of hold your hand and say, hey, I've been there or I'm with you and let's do this together. You do need, because no one really understands unless you're going through it.
Absolutely. Yeah, you said it just perfectly. What do we need to do? How far back do we need to go? Do you remember? Do you remember, you know, getting bit by a tick?
2018 is when I was a mom of a 3 and a 4 year old. I was rocking along, living my best life. My husband and I had tried for years to have babies and start a family. And I finally, you know, I had this dream come true. My 2 little babies, a boy and a girl. And they were at the cutest stage and, you know, just really where my business was growing. I was able to just be superwoman. And I know a lot of people that I talked to with the same experience in Lyme, especially, they were superwoman. They kind of went from being all the things to everybody. And it was like, I'm unstoppable. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like, just kidding, you know, people breaks. And so that was, for me, it was a very unexpected halt. And it took a minute for me to kind of get in the mindset of this is really happening and now we need to fight. It was like, this isn't real. I can't imagine being this sick girl. That's not me. That's not who I am. But then you wrap your head around it and you're like, okay, now what? Let's go into battle. So
yeah,
it was 2018, and my family and I went camping. We're in Texas, and so my husband has a lease, and we were camping, and, you know, at some point or another, a deer tick found its way to me, and I guess a couple of weeks later, maybe days later, weeks, I can't remember, the bullseye rash came about, and I thought it was ringworm. And with my 3 and 4 year old, I didn't have a lot of time to care about myself, you know? And right. So I'm like, okay, I'll throw some cortisone on there. We're moving on. And it just became physical. So the rash was there, and then it became the nausea. Soon it led into the fatigue, and then the fatigue got worse. I went to the doctor, of course, you're fine. And
so did you not know what this rash meant then?
No.
Okay. And was it the actual bullseye rash?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It looked just like the, like a, it looked like a ringworm.
And it does look a lot like ringworm, right? That's interesting. Yeah. And I just wanted to point that out for a second because, I mean, I've interviewed, you know, hundreds of people over the last 3.5 years and myself, one other, and you are the only ones who got the bullseye rash and didn't know what it meant. Like, so that, because that doesn't happen often, right? And I just want to kind of point it out because most of it, us don't get it. And then when we do get it, we're so uneducated, we don't know what it means, right? And so I said years ago, I said, if all I can accomplish by having my voice in the Lyme community is if you get a bullseye rash, you have Lyme disease, like, right?
Yeah.
Because had we known that, can you imagine all the years we could have saved?
Oh, my gosh.
And it sounds so simple to just know, you know? And and I used to think that it was less than 30% that actually got the bullseye rash. But I can't remember. I think I read something on iLads not very long ago. I think it's less than 12% of people actually get the bullseye rash. Which is crazy.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know that.
No, yeah, it's a very, very low percentage. And then obviously it sounds like the people that do get it, like you and I, doesn't really matter if we get it because we don't know what it means, right? So yeah, so
it's
crazy.
True.
Okay, so you get this rash and you start having all these symptoms and then take me down the rabbit hole, right?
Oh, absolutely. Okay, yeah, here we go. I mean, because truly, you know, even if I'd had that rash and thought to go to the doctor for it or the dermatologist, I feel like they would not have, the first thing they would have said wouldn't have been, well, you know what, you have Lyme disease. I mean, they would have treated me for some kind of rash or, you know, whatever. And that's actually, you know, one of the things that is the most frustrating, I know that any of your, all of your listeners can relate to, and God bless them, but the medical community, they just, some of them just aren't there yet. And knowing how important it is to advocate for Lyme and what it looks like and how to heal and that it can be healed. And there's a lot of controversy I know about, well, you can never really heal it or it can go in remission, but I'm here to tell you that it can be healed and I healed from it.
Yes.
So it can be done.
I love those words. Yes. That's why, I mean, we're living proof of it, right?
Yeah.
And
and
every one of my guests are those who have conquered Lyme disease. So it is possible wherever you are in your journey. You know, there's days when we don't just think it's going to kill us. Like we want it to kill us, right? Like we're just so done.
Yeah.
We're just so done. Yeah.
Take me, please. So, absolutely. I remember those days.
Yes.
And so, you know, I think that the illness, the kind of, you know, how it starts with the fatigue and the nausea and, you know, you just don't feel like yourself and you go to the doctor and you're fine. And I had a doctor tell me, you know, well, I was a mom who was busy and I needed to go take a vacation. And that's what was going on with me. All right. Well, all right. Okay. So, well, that was, you know, that jack wagon didn't go very far. And so we ended up going from there to, I was determined to get labs and I ended up getting some labs done that actually came back, which is unbelievable, saying that I had lupus and Lyme disease. Those first labs that I ever had done from just the regular doctor that told me that I was just, actually to quote him, he said, you have McKinney mom syndrome. At the time we were living near Frisco in McKinney, Texas. And he said, well, you have McKinney mom syndrome. I said, well, okay, well, you know, listen, let's get some labs going. And I want to know what my blood looks like. I want to know what's going on. And they said, no, you don't need to. And girl, I had to fight for those labs. Okay.
Ugh.
2 weeks later, this nurse calls me back and she says, I'm so sorry. You have lupus and Lyme disease. You need to get yourself a rheumatologist.
Wow. Okay. So that's actually a positive thing. Like, right, we can go into some just regular practitioners and actually get a positive Lyme test because it doesn't normally happen, right?
I mean, right. Well, and the thing is,
and they could probably have left off the lupus part, right? Because I'm assuming you didn't really have lupus, is my guess.
Right. Well, and the thing is, the flip side happened because of that. You could definitely look at it either way. But because of that, I went and found a rheumatologist and ended up getting treated for lupus because his words were, you definitely don't have Lyme disease because that doesn't exist.
Who said this? The doctor that just told you the test results?
Oh, number one in Dallas, had to, you know, the best of the best, had to go see him, didn't take insurance, doesn't matter, got to have the best. Okay. So he says, you don't have Lyme disease. Definitely that doesn't exist. You do probably have a mild case of lupus. And so he put me on hydrochloroquine and some steroids. And, you know, we went through that song and dance and ended up from there going to an integrated wellness professional that was kind of in our area. Soon after that, we had accumulated, you know, tens of thousands of dollars of debt through all these doctors that, of course, don't take insurance. And so, you know, you're doing ozone therapy and all the things that they're recommending. And it's unbelievable. You're just hoping. You're so desperate. You're just hoping this time it'll work. So a couple years of that. And
so you go to this rheumatologist. And he says, you don't have Lyme disease because it's not a thing, right? You might have a little bit of lupus. Okay, so then you started talking about, you know, these treatments and these ozone. Who's doing what? Like, how did you get somebody to say that you had Lyme disease? Or were you guys just treating random stuff?
Treating random stuff. So we knew that the treatment that I was on from the rheumatologist wasn't working for quote unquote lupus because I wasn't feeling any better. There was no relief. I was still tired and nauseous and just very lethargic and not able to just function in general. And I knew that that was something was wrong. So I have a friend who recommended a natural, he's an integrated wellness doctor. And he's not far from where we live. And so we got into him and I tried that for a year. And that is who kind of prefaced my treatment with, before we figure out what you have, we're going to have to make sure you don't have mold, make sure you don't have yeast. Let's make sure you don't have A, B, and C. And that through process of elimination will tell us, you know, what you have, which made sense to me. And it was just part of the process. It was so frustrating, though. You just want a quick answer when you're sick, right?
Right.
And so so we ended up going through. That's where the ozone treatments came in. We did IV treatments. We did detoxes, of course, thousands of dollars of supplements. I mean, all the things. And we ended up from there over a course of a year and a half, ruling out so much that he did say, eventually he said, I think you ought to go to a Lyme literate doctor and get tested for Lyme disease because there's just not anything else it could be from my notes. And so I did. I found a Lyme literate doctor after reading a book. It's Dr. Kendalahar, if you've ever heard of him.
Yes, I have.
He's amazing, of course. And he doesn't take appointments anymore, but because he's traveling, speaking, and saving the world that way. But he had an understudy. He had a protege that I was able to get in touch with. And I started going to her and being treated. I definitely had Lyme. I mean, we took the test. And
do you recall, was it a test through Igenix or?
I want to say it was.
That's okay. You don't remember. I always just like to ask.
I don't remember for sure. I remember the paperwork and I kind of remember that. But I know that there were two different ones and one doctor liked one lab over the other. And so as soon as I did one lab and got all that finally accumulated that information and finally okay, well, they want the other one. So this doctor didn't like those labs. So we want to go through these. All right. So, you know, this it's just like the game of Lyme. And so we ended up going through another round of labs and they both came back, though. I will say they both came back positive. So I'm not thinking one is necessarily better than the other.
Okay.
And we did have some co-infections along with the Lyme. So she began treating me with disulfiram. And that's a gnarly medication and it's not for the faint of heart. And so I tried doing that for about a year and a maybe a year, a little over a year maybe. And man, it's worth it if it works for you. I will say it's unbelievable for some people. I got really close to remission and I got COVID. And so something went haywire in my system and it sort of reawakened the Lyme disease. And we went back to square one.
Oh, no. Okay. So you're on the disulfiram, which has, you know, it can be very, very rough. I've heard, I've never personally done it, but I've had guests on the show talk about it. And it can definitely be rough. So you're thinking you're close to remission on the disulfiram.
Yeah.
And then COVID.
Feeling better. Definitely feeling better. I'm seeing some progress. I'm feeling progress. I'm not sleeping 12 and 17 hour days anymore. I mean, you know, when you're in the throes of Lyme, you're sleeping your life away. And mind you, I had this 3 and 4 year old that were by now 6 and 7.
You don't have time to sleep your life away.
Nobody wants to sleep your life away. And,
right.
You know, I mean, I have an amazing husband who kind of, you know, he definitely just, you do what you have to do. And yeah. So he got in there and took the place of mom and dad. But I mean, you know, I was mourning my old life. And a lot of people, we have to kind of, when there's no hope in that moment, you do feel like, well, that was my life. I'm no longer that person. That was who I used to be. And I think it's important. I love what you're doing because it's a good reminder of it's not over yet. It's not over till it's over.
It is. Yeah. You know, and you just said a couple of keywords there. So I do a program where I work with some Lyme patients and we do a weekly call about kind of mindset and a support group call, right? And literally last week, one of the guys on there said, it's like we're grieving the life we don't have anymore.
Yes.
And I thought, yes. Wow, what a good word. Powerful word, right? Yes. But you just said it too. Yes, it is definitely, I've said it before, I'll say it again, that this journey changes us 100%, no matter how much we fight it, right? Like it just does. But, and I'm going to ask you this before I'm going to speak for you first, but okay. Up until you, every single person I've ever asked after Lyme disease, their life is different, but they love it. They're not sad. They don't regret. They don't nothing. So is that true for you too, Emily?
It is. It is. And it's really, and everyone's has their different reasons for feeling that way. Of course, for me, and I'm sure that I speak for many faithful hearts out there when, you know, you really develop, if you're not already faithful, in my experience, you sure get there quick. I mean, yes. You really develop a relationship with the Lord and you realize that how important it is to have that relationship and trust and faith and not just hope, but have faith that there is something around the corner and we're going to use this for good. And that's kind of going back to the hurt, heal, help. It's like, okay, what else are we here for? Yeah. I mean, if we're going to go through something, I love hearing stories of people that have overcome horrible, horrible tragedies in their life. And they have started foundations or.
Yeah. You know, and then we find out the reason speaker. For it, right? Like why we, what we learned from this experience. Yeah. I love it. I love it. But yes. So for those listeners out there. I promise you, there still has not been one person I've met on the other side of this that has regrets of what they went through. So it's hard to acknowledge that, accept it, or even believe it, right, when you're in the midst of the journey. But just know that there is that hope, and you're going to be different on the other end. But it's an amazing difference, I promise. If not, come hunt me down, right, and say, I told you.
If someone, Tanya, would have told me that I was going to appreciate the journey and that on the other end, my life would be changed and better and I'd have a story to tell and a testimony to give, I would have just said jump in a lake. do me a favor and jump in a lake.
Yeah, like, can we smack you now or later?
It's
yeah.
True.
Yeah. Yeah, not words that it's we want to hear, but it's, you know, you're hearing that from
people. Yeah.
Yeah, from us. We beat this, like, you know, yes. and we're yes. saying it. So, yeah, I absolutely yeah. love that for
but
sure.
With that, I will say, you know, to anyone that asks, I will say you do have to put in the work. I mean, it's not magical. To heal, it's even with the Lord. I mean, there are miraculous, you know, time. Absolutely. I believe in that. But I also believe that you grow through what you go through. And so you are going through this and you're overcoming, but it also builds you into a totally new person. Mm-hmm. And so you have to actually experience all these downfalls and trials and letdowns and frustrations to go through the tunnel of hell that Lyme disease is, and then come out the other side to really have that true, authentic testimony. And so it doesn't come easy, and you are going to have to put in the work, and you're going to have to commit to it and be consistent with it. It's like anything. You doesn't work if you don't do the work.
Exactly. And it doesn't work if you tell yourself it's not going to. So okay, mindset is huge
with
it.
That's a whole other part.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, part two. Yeah, that's
mindset,
a huge
yes.
part of it is mindset for sure. So yeah. Anyways, we kind of went yeah. off our little topic there, but that's okay. That's all good, because the listeners, I know, you know, they need to hear this. They need to yeah. hear what we have to say, because we've experienced firsthand. We know, right? We put in the yeah. work, and you know, I know that the Lord played a huge role in my healing process, but I will also tell you this. I really had a love-hate relationship with God. Like yeah. I really did during this journey. It really tests you a little bit, right?
Yeah.
But obviously it all worked out. But okay, yeah. So let's go back. We stopped you at COVID. And that's yeah. interesting that you say that, because that was one thing that happened, you know, when COVID happened a few years ago. All of a sudden people are really, really sick. And some mm-hmm. still, I do believe it can just be a long-haul COVID thing, but mm-hmm. so many of them later found out it was Lyme disease. It activated
right.
the Lyme in their body that's been lying dormant. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Yep.
So that is what happened to you. And so take us from there, what happened?
So that would have been when I had reached or felt like I was reaching very close to reaching remission. It was by this time 2022, maybe barely 2022, and maybe 2021, late 2021. And I had COVID, and I was very, very, very sick with COVID, not hospitalized or anything, but just it took me out. And that is when it reset it awakened my Lyme again, and it set me back to square one. And I was so frustrated. And I remember talking on the phone to my mother, and my mom said, you know, I think you ought to try holistic. And those words, when she said that, they resonated with me, because prior to that, I had just been thinking, is there any other thing I can try? What else can I do? Okay. And, you know, I had read, I mean, you know how you are when you're ill, you read everything, you research, you try to figure it out, you try to save the world. And I mean, it's information overload with the yeah. internet and all
it
good,
is,
all
you know, some people, that's their first struggle is they don't yeah. know what to start. They don't want, you know, and there's no simple answer. There's just not,
no,
because
there's
not
no simple answer.
Anything answers.
Different.
Yeah.
No, wish there was, but I will say, holistic for, in my experience, the holistic protocol that I was on, and I'm gonna tell you about that, because it's different than a lot of holistic protocols. It's kind of not like it's awesome, actually, because your body is telling you what it needs versus someone trying to guess. But going the holistic route, I thought, okay, if I really, really began to look into this, pray over this, and look for direction, and I had a friend who gave me the book, The Holy Hurt Locker by Carrie Simpson. And she had Lyme disease. And I read this book, and it was like the seven keys to healing or something. And I read that and looked her up, and it turns out she was like an hour and a half away from us. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is worth a try. And I mean, if someone would have said, stand on your head and eat a banana and sing, like I would have totally done that because I'm so desperate at this point for that same thing to work. And so we go, and it was a little juju. I mean, what she does is quantum reflex analysis. And so if people are not, I wasn't at all familiar with this term or this protocol, this way of healing. And it's where your body essentially tells you what is wrong. And so, you know, you do this all through energy and you end up getting on supplements and you do cleanses and you essentially make your body so clean after all of this effort to get out the toxins, which essentially you're cleaning out your body until it can get into the Lyme. Okay. And so I had a lot of Lyme and in biofilms. And I think if you have Lyme, you're familiar with biofilms.
Right.
And those are some nasty little boogers. And so we had to break those open, get the Lyme into my bloodstream and essentially kill it. And after a year, it was about 5 months of hardcore treatment. And then it was sort of tapering off and just waiting and then testing again and then seeing if there's anything else in there. And it was a probably about a year long process, but truly only about 6 months of it was hard. I mean, it was
the brutal treating part.
Brutal, you know, like the Herx thing and whatnot. And so, but I would say that after everything was said and done and my body was finally clean and cleared from all the toxins, the bacteria was gone. It's like, oh my God, you have your life back. All of a sudden, you have your life back.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
So this type of treatment you're talking about, you know, like the energy testing.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a lot of sense in, and because I call, you know, muscle testing, like I think it's voodoo, right? Like voodoo-ish or whatever. But hey, all of that crazy voodoo stuff is what gave me my life back. So call it what you want to call it. But it sounds really, you know, similar to that because there, you know, again, we're not going to treat the Lyme disease. We're going to treat what's going on in your body. And that is testing what's going on in our body. So, and one of the reasons why I really like it too is because when you go to your doctor every month, they re-muscle test you, right? And be like, okay, so what we did last month really worked. And so you don't need this. Or, oh, wow, this popped up. Now you need this. Like it truly is like a progress report every month versus, you know, spending $1,500 to do lab work through Igenix every month. Like it's just, you know, that's a kind of a no-brainer to me. So yours is very similar to that. So do you recall some of the supplements and stuff that you took along this journey?
I took, there was one in particular that was a, and I wish I could remember, HC something. I will find out, Tanya, and I want to, I'll put it, however we can reincorporate it into the podcast or put it in the comments.
It's fine. It's not a big deal at all. No, so many of us, we go through the journey. There's so much that we can't remember, right?
I should remember this because this was a booger of a tree. This was a supplement, HC something, but it's HCMML. I don't know.
It might pop into your head here in a minute. And so you took a bunch of supplements. What other types of, did you do different types of modalities? What type of detox treatments did you do?
Okay. I did, a lot of cleanses. And so obviously the certain supplements, you know, help with the cleanses and get the toxins out and detoxify you in ways that, you know, nothing else can. I mean, you know, we have to go like for listeners that might want to do this. I am an advocate for coffee enemas and I will say that it's not awesome. I mean, it's not super hot, but you know, it is
not helpful. A fun topic of conversation right now. And I've talked about it a lot before too. I think coffee enemas can be a game changer for people for sure. Yeah. They weren't one of my favorite things, but gosh, was any part of, you know, our treatment in our favorite thing, you know, like it really wasn't, you know, and like when people, you know, these practitioners are telling me, okay, well, you need to do a coffee. And I'm like, I need to do what? Well, you need to do a colonics. I'm like, I need to do what? You know, like, you've got to be kidding me right now. Right. And I'm like, Tanya, you got to do this. You know, you just got to do it. You've got to, you know, take that leap of faith almost. And that kind of really is what it feels like when you get outside the traditional way of treating. And it is all different, and it's a leap of faith. And I just, you know, to the listeners out there, I tell you, find a practitioner that you resonate with, right? Like my number one recommendation would be to find a practitioner that does muscle testing, because I think it's incredible. You can, you know, search near you in your area, integrative health. A lot of chiropractors treat Lyme disease and they muscle test as well. If you need help finding a practitioner in your area that does muscle testing, reach out to me. I'm happy to help you find one. I do already have a list of doctors going around that do muscle testing. But nonetheless, when you meet these practitioners, make sure you resonate with them, right? Because if you don't, it makes it harder to kind of get outside your box and trust them what they want you to do, you know? So, Well, I love hearing you say you do coffee enemas because those are just great.
Know,
yeah.
Girl, let's go. Let's go. Okay. Let me tell you, I did when you were talking, I took the liberty to look up and I use, it's HCL. So I think I was close. I was on to something. It is HCL and it's Premier Research Labs. They are by far my favorite supplement company. And you can just trust that that's good and clean and, you know.
And I don't think I've heard of HCL. What does it say it is?
Okay. All right. So it is hydrochloride. Hydrochloride. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, HCL, and there is an HCL activator if you've got some gnarly biofilm going on. But anyway, if you decide to do the muscle testing and they find that you have Lyme and biofilm, this is the supplement that was game changing for me because it broke through the biofilm. And it's hard. I mean,
it's not a lot of things break biofilms. Yes.
No, biocidin, it's hit and miss. These are the big guns. And so it was, I remember right before Easter dinner, I was like walking to the table and everyone had like their Easter best on, you know, and I had like my glass of wine and I'm like walking to the table and I like go to sit down and everything's so beautiful. And I was like, oh, hang on 1 second. I'll be right back. And I go and I just threw my guts up in the bathroom. And then I came back out for like, you know, lamb dinner because it was like, that is how this supplement works. It gets it out at the most. Unfortunately, you can't time it and you just don't know what's going to happen and when it's going to reach what it reaches. But the point is it gets it out and little by little, you know, it breaks through that biofilm and then the Lyme gets into your bloodstream and that's when it's open and ready and exposed. And that's when you can kill it. And
yes, I agree. We have to get it behind that biofilm. So one of the things that I used to break up my biofilms was Cystis T. I just think it's incredible. It's a great biofilm buster. It has many, many other properties as well. And I tell people if it's something that they want to try, it's very, very strong. I mean, I've known somebody take a teaspoon of tea in a cup of water and they herx for like 2 weeks by one teaspoon of this tea. So it's very strong. So if you're out there and you want to give this a shot, BioPure is my favorite brand of the Cystis tea. If you Google Dr. Klinghart, which most of us are familiar with, he did, I don't know, like a 5-10 minute webinar video several years ago all about what Cystis tea does, what it is, what it's good for. Great, great webinar that you can just Google search and find him. But yeah, Cystis tea is one of the things that will be incorporated into my world forever. So I drink a cup of it every night. It's an antimicrobial, it's an antibacterial, antiviral. It has great cancer killing properties in it. And, you know, some of the listeners may know that I got rid of Lyme and then I got breast cancer. So, you know, just always looking at natural ways to continue to fight off the cancer cells that are in our bodies. And then just a biofilm buster, you know, because I still think at times Lyme can be hiding out behind things and, you know, an injury or something can balk it up. Well, you know, yeah. So I just, the cyst is one of my favorite things. So.
Oh my gosh. Well, let me just say, no, I did not know that you battled breast cancer, and I love, congratulations being a survivor. I want to get with you on a separate note and talk about that, because I have the gene, you know, mutation thing, and the doctors are like, well, you need to have this surgery and you need to, you know.
Oh, yes. Okay. Definitely a private conversation on that for sure. Yeah. 13 years of Lyme disease. I get rid of that. A few months later, I get breast cancer. I'm like, really? You know, right? We are challenged, but there's a reason we go through all of this for sure.
Absolutely.
No regrets, but yes.
Battles to his strongest soldiers.
And I do think that there is some type of a correlation between Lyme disease and breast cancer. Like, I just kind of still think there is. Haven't figured that one out yet. But yeah, you know, and so I kind of lost a lot of faith in the traditional doctors. And so, of course, I didn't want to go down that rabbit hole with my breast cancer, you know.
Yes.
It was 5-10 years on these medications that's going to, you know, deteriorate your bones and make you sick. And I'm like, no, I'm sorry, that's a hard pass, right? Like, that's a hard pass for me.
Yes.
And so the cystis T is something that I utilize. I utilize my photobiomodulation, my light technology. And I just, you know, do a couple things, and I think it's going to keep me good. But yes, definitely another show there, right?
Yes.
We have Emily. I mean, we're going to have like 5 parts to this, right?
Our own show? I'm just asking.
Yeah.
I'm just like, are we doing this? I don't know.
Okay, so we got five, six really rough months of your treatment. And then kind of after that, it was just kind of testing your body to see what may come out periodically and addressing it accordingly.
Exactly.
Is that about right?
That's exactly. Yes. And so I was, you know, over the first kind of clean test was in May of 23, right before my kiddos got out of school. And we had a Lyme-free party in my house. But what happened from there, and now my practitioner did say, this is something that could still be hiding in that DERN biofilm. And so she didn't take me off of my protocol. I kept going, even though I was quote unquote Lyme free, because we wanted to make sure that it was all gone. And so we stayed on that protocol for another 6 or 8 weeks. And it wasn't until, I guess, fall. So that would have been like September, I guess, that I finally tapered off of the HCL and the activator and all of the, you know, binders that helped with that. And it was like little by little, I mean, because you just feel like you're going to die when you're on all of that, you know, I mean, you just, you're herxing, the die off is a killer. And so I little by little started getting, my life back. And it was probably end of September that I could honestly say, okay, it's done. And then even then you're like, oh my gosh, who am I without Lyme? What does this look like? I don't even know this world at this point. You're just so altered. And so then there's a whole stage in there that no one tells you about that's like postpartum, but it's a flip. It's like after a Lyme, post Lyme. And it's like you just have to learn to walk again. And you kind of go through these early stages of figuring out who you are after Lyme. And
I love that you really kind of emphasize that, because I tell people that I think part of our healing journey, right? Like, so it's a no-brainer. We got to kill it, right? We got to bind it. We got to detox. We got to do all this stuff. But I also think, you know, we mentioned a little bit earlier the mindset of it. But I also think it's this emotional part of it, right?
Yeah.
And it could even bring up stuff from your childhood, right?
Oh,
like maybe you had a toxic childhood. I truly in my heart believe that if we don't address these blocked emotional traumas and or deal with and peel back the layers of the emotional trauma that we dealt with during our Lyme journey, two things. One, you won't completely get well. Or two, you're going to get sick again.
again.
And yeah. I mean, I would just bet people money on that. Like I'm so sold. And so there, you know, there's a great book. Well, I'm learning that there's a lot of books out there, but there's a great book out there. It's called The Emotion Code by Dr. Bradley Nelson. Okay. So, you know, I'm talking about, it's a fantastic book. Go to your library, check it out, read through it, because I think it's almost like, so we can even kind of talk about it. Like we talk about Lyme and mold, right? So you get a practitioner and they're like, well, we can go ahead and treat Lyme first, or nope, mold's got to be treated first, or we can treat them together. You know, everybody's kind of got their answer for that. Right. And so of course I'm not a doctor, right? Like I'm just a Lyme survivor. But what I believe is that you either one need to treat the mold first, but I'm really okay with in conjunction with Lyme. Yeah. But if you're treating Lyme and you have mold and you're not addressing it, I honestly feel it's a waste of your time and your money and your resources.
I agree.
So I agree. The same thing with our emotional part of it.
Yeah.
I think you're better off to work through this emotional part during your journey.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. I didn't know about it. I didn't, you know, nobody said this to me.
No.
So I get rid of Lyme. And I'm like, what you just said, Emily, what now? Yeah. Like, what now? I had this amazing career. I was very intelligent. And then I got sick and I didn't know my name and I didn't know what a checkbook was. And I didn't know what my social security number was. Like, how do you go to that to go back out into the real world and have any confidence at all in your brain ability or the capacity to know anything? Right.
Absolutely. And it is definitely, of course, obviously, like anything, it takes time. I mean, time to kind of get to know yourself, this new self. But I think the mistake that I made was to try to be the same girl that I was before Lyme.
Okay.
And it's impossible.
Yeah.
You're not.
Yeah.
It's what we started the conversation with. You're not the same person. You have grown. You have become a whole new person. And let's go. Let's run with that.
So how can you kind of take us through a little bit of that? Like, do you recall what you did? Do you have any tips for us? Like, how did you kind of process through that?
Well, there was a lot of tears, honestly. At first, the first 2 months, I want to say, I was it was so strange too, because it's like you have your life and you're finally, you've beaten the battle that you've been fighting to beat and you've won. And yet here you are. And I just thought, what's wrong with me? I am so grateful. I'm so thankful. I'm so excited. I'm ecstatic. I have my mother again. I have my children back. I have my family back. I have my life. And that's the most important. And yet there was like, I still did not resonate with myself. And so I really had to go through starting fresh with what kind of person do I want to be? Where are my priorities? What does this outline for my future look like? And I kind of had to reinstate like my own bylaws. I mean, it was like, I had to figure out like, okay, where am I going to go with this? And I think that is where, most people with, with the heart to help, they're like, let's use this in a way that can benefit others. And so that for me was a turning point. Like, I don't want to go back to the career I had, the person that I was, even the mother that I was. I mean, I changed as on every realm. I think a lot of people could probably say that as they're going through this and overcome it, that they change and they realize perspective really takes the lead. And suddenly things that are so important before Lyme are not that important after Lyme or even during. But you just start, you have a new lease on life, do you not? You just look up and you begin to see that this can be used for good. And so I began to talk and, for some reason people just, and I love it. I do. I love it. But people just open up to me and I love it. But it's like, you know, I get very, very involved. I mean, with people and their lives and what's going on. And I start doing this with people and I start realizing that there is a real need for a place that is a common ground for healing. And that it doesn't matter if they have Lyme disease, Hashimoto's, cancer, depression, have survived abuse. I mean, we could get into trafficking. Don't get me started. So much trauma. I mean, there is a reason that there are healing facilities out there. And I thought, oh my God, no one can afford it. Like no one can afford it. And so from those conversations, an idea was born to get with some partners through my own healing journey that I met. And my practitioner is one of them. And we have since formed a retreat that is beginning to take off. And our whole premise of this is to be able to heal people without the cost being an inhibitor. And so instead of it being $1,500 per hour, or, you know, $800 for this bottle of supplements and some, you know, infrared light over here, some ozone treatment. I mean, and trust me, I'm for all of it. It all has its place, but people in general can't afford it. And so then they think, why even try? I can't spend $100,000 on an ozone treatment, or like not the ozone. If there's that chamber, there's some kind of like bariatric chamber,
the hyperbaric chamber.
Hyperbaric, thank you. And I'm like, I remember kind of thinking through that, and then there was something for like $10,000 that you could go to, and it was a 2-week, you know, thing, and hopefully.
It's a lot, you know. And I had Dr. Rawls on a few weeks ago, and we talked about how so many people believe that Lyme disease is a rich person's disease, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I kind of felt like that during my journey, because my journey was 13 years and I spent $1 million out of pocket, right? And no, I did not just have $1 million laying around. I mean, I lost everything. I cashed out my retirement. I had like nothing left to my name, right? But I was going to die. And I didn't have any guidance from anyone that's been down this road, right? Because I say to people now, my goodness, no, you don't have to spend that kind of money, you know? And that's, you know, one of the huge reasons why I do this show and I do what I do, because I want people at home to be able to hear all of the different treatment options that are out there. So if you truly can't afford a doctor, right? Like, we have to be our own advocate anyways, right?
You become the doctor. You become your own practitioner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so 100%. Just listening at some of these things, you know, they can try on their own. And I'm not recommending treating without a doctor, right? I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that there's a lot of things that a lot of us can't afford. And don't let the cost prohibit you. And so that's kind of what you're saying, that, you know, there's a lot of these clinics are coming out. Some of them are becoming nonprofits and, you know, you donate what you can. And
yes, that's exactly what we are. And that's where we're wanting to go. But I mean, oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is, at the end of the day, we all want to, we've been through, if those in this community have been through it, and if you've overcome it, all we want to do is take somebody's hand and pull them out of that hole that they're in, because we wanted someone like that for us, and if only, you know. And so we're definitely, you know, praying over this and just hoping that it can take off as we're wanting it to help others. It boils down to that. And so, and in a natural way, I mean, obviously there's different things. And like I said, it's not just Lyme disease. It's not just one illness over the other. There is mental and physical and emotional traumas that need to be adjusted. And what you said a minute ago about the fact that if you're not healing alongside your physical with the emotional, you're not going to reach that overcoming point where you can honestly say, oh my God, wipe my brow. I made it through, because you're going to still have it in you. It's still trapped. Something is still trapped. And that is where, I think that I honestly think that there is, and we're in a time in this world where it's a spiritual battle just to be alive right now. And so it's even more important than it ever has been to have that faith and have that draw to get that trauma, to find that trauma, to meet it where it's at, and to let it go. And there are so many ways to do that. And yeah, we're going to go ahead and open our own podcast because we need to talk about that one too.
I love it. So you guys have a website for this retreat. We are going to be sure to put that into the title of this episode. And awesome. Also, I'm sure that a lot of people are going to want to know this practitioner that you treated under. Her name is Carrie Simpson. I've had the pleasure to have a phone conversation with her. And so for you listeners, stay tuned. Of course, I don't have my calendar in front of me, but she is coming up, I believe, in about a month. I'm going to have her as a guest on my show. You know, and again, like, I want to make it clear. You guys all know that I'm not a doctor. I'm just this Lyme person who conquered Lyme. I bring these guests on. I bring these practitioners on. And no way am I saying to you, this is the practitioner, you know, I endorse. You need to go treat with them. Or this is the modality I endorse. You need to go buy this. It's not at all what I'm doing. I'm not saying I am or I'm not saying I'm not. All I'm doing is allowing this platform to be just that, to share all of these different things that are out there for the listeners that may not know. They could be too sick to search things out. They had no idea that you could treat Lyme this way or that way, or there's this modality or there's that. That's simply all I'm doing, is allowing this platform to be laid out there for all of these things to be out in the open so people are familiar with them, people can trap them down. So we will go ahead and also attach Carrie's website to your title too so people can read up on her, but then be sure to stay tuned for, I don't know, like I said, in sometime in about a month. So you'll just have to listen to every week to see when she comes out. But yes, I'm excited to have her on and kind of share more details of kind of your journey and what she took you through down that road. But I'm super excited for your guys' healing retreat. That's going to be amazing. I believe it's all going to work the way it's supposed to, right? Like, I just kind of think that stuff happens in life. Has been so much fun meeting you and going down this journey with you. And I'm so happy you are well and glowing and doing good and want to help others.
Thank you.
And it's so crazy to me. It shouldn't be, but it is. How many people who beat this and then they just want to get back to the Lyme community, right?
Yeah.
Like it just, that's part of that change we talk about, right? Who would have thought that owning a legal business or being a finance manager turned me to being an advocate in the Lyme world? Like, who would have thought, really? What's going on here?
I know. It's all part of it. And so I'd love that you're doing this. Like I said in the beginning, I'm honored to be a part of it for this little moment. But I mean, you know, just hats off to you, Tanya, because you're just taking what you've gone through and you're bringing such beauty to such a difficult topic. And so many people are just hanging on to every word. And so I thank you.
I appreciate that. Well, thank you. And if it wasn't for guests like you that could, you know, come on here and be vulnerable with me and share their story, like, I wouldn't have a show, right? So I appreciate all of you guys. And every show is somebody that's conquered Lyme. So it's possible, listeners. It's definitely possible. You can and you will get better. Know that you can and will get better. Amen. And that's half the battle right there. So all right, Miss Emily, thank you so, so much for sharing with us. I really appreciate it. It's been fun.
It has been fun. And thank you so much.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.